I'm gonna look at a text here in a little bit, but I don't know who in the world this is for. But the other day, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, "I'm to say this today." Somebody in this room years ago experienced a severe betrayal of confidence, and you have allowed that all your life to dominate you and put you down. But as sure as I'm standing here, I'm not trying to grandstand or prove anything about how spiritual I am. I'm just telling you, God spoke to my heart to tell you today, whoever you are, that you've wallowed in it long enough. Get up and move on with your life. God's best days are the ones just ahead of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you've laid a message on my heart today, God, that that's going to require more than I can produce, and I know that. We need the Holy Spirit of God to anoint words today, because they are our words, they are yours. And we pray in Jesus' name that you will let our hearts be open to what you're saying and what you're doing here in this place among us. May your name be glorified. May Jesus be exalted. May souls, O Lord, come to know you today in a very special way, in Christ's name. Everybody said, amen. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's what I'm using for text or title today. Noah found grace. The Bible said it came to pass. When men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." What a sobering thought. God said, "My spirit will not always strive with men. Though judgment be delayed 120 years, judgment will surely come." That's Noah's crowd, that crowd in Noah's day. Now here's the deal. Plain and simple, cut and dried, here's the deal. We either lose our sins or we lose our souls. That's pretty plain, but that's just about the gist of it. We have for years in this nation been fed a steady diet of cheap and easy religion, until by and large we have lost the fear of God out of our society. God has been pictured as a doting old man sitting up in the sky that can be easily ignored, just as easily ignored as worshiped, and neither one of them makes a great deal of difference. That is the modern thought about our God. There have been many through the years who thought they could thumb their noses at God and get by with it, but history says otherwise. The case of King Saul, 1 Samuel 15:23. Samuel had told Saul through the power of the Holy Spirit to do certain things, and Saul took matters in his own hands and disobeyed God. And here's the way the text reads: "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And God said to this king, 'Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king.'" His total disregard and disrespect for God led him down a path of ruin. There's the case of those who paid no attention to Jesus in his day. In Luke chapter 19, verse 41 and 42. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. The case of Esau. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 through 17 records this. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The Israelites, Psalm chapter 81, verse 11 and 12. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Hosea chapter 4, verse 17, the old prophet said this, Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. I do not want ever it to be said in the council rooms of heaven for God to look at the holy angels and the Holy Spirit and say, Larry Hatfield has followed his own way, let him alone. Don't have anything to do with him. It's a sobering, sobering thought. In general, we look at Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 through 28. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15 and 16, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy, no remedy. Luke chapter 7, verse 31 and 32. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? To what are they like? They are like to children sitting in the marketplace, calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not wept. I saw something about this verse this morning that I had never picked up on before. I want to run it by you. Note Jesus' reference to music and tears. Music and tears. Two things that are the surest way to provoke a response. Music and tears. Satan has dismantled an entire generation through ungodly, wicked music. They don't listen to the preacher anymore. They listen to Rappo, whoever he might be. They listen to the latest lewdness that's coming in the form of a fuzz guitar and a bass guitar that's out of tune. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know what? The devil's pretty sly. He's come into the church now and got the church all flustered because we're singing songs off the wall instead of them holy books that came across on the boat.
And so we're more concerned about songs than we are about the God whose songs those songs represent. Music and tears. God help us if we ever get to where music doesn't move us. And God, if we are not moved by another's tears. But did you see this? Jesus said, we've piped unto you, we've made music, you've not danced, we've mourned to you, you've not wept. They responded to neither. Remember what God said in Genesis, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I want to look at this morning. This is heavy. The spirit does sometimes strive with man. Inherent in that verse of scripture is the fact that, yes, God does strive with man sometimes. And I'm glad he does. I'm glad God loves me enough that he won't let me get by when I sin. He makes me uncomfortable. No, he makes me worse than that. He makes me feel cheap and worthless when I sin, and I thank God daily that he does, because he loves me enough. He loves me enough to do that. He strives with me. Strive. Now let's look at this. Strive is not a boxing match where two opponents slug it out until one of them takes a knockout punch to the jaw. No, this is a Holy Spirit forcefully pleading with men, thus showing man that he is a convict. He's guilty. Oh, I just love it when somebody says, I'm guilty of something. Would you? That was the key of A flat. It sure felt flat good to get that done. Guilty. Guilty. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Remember those famous lines? And that's just the beginning. I'm not talking racial. I'm talking about across the board. All have sinned. All of us. The Holy Spirit forcefully pleads with men, showing him that he's a convict, he's guilty. You can't believe how many poor, innocent men are behind bars today. To hear them tell it. Are you with me? They've been convicted in the court of law, but they themselves aren't convinced that they've done a thing wrong. But this striving, it's also a convincing. The Holy Spirit strives with an individual vigorously. That's what's called striving. Unfortunately, drugs, alcohol, or just being a party animal can dull the conscience. And then one day the heavenly dove flies off. No more striving. Smooth sailing. No bumps in the road. Comfortable. Oh, I'm having the time of my life. No bumps in this road, I moan. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The thing about the road of sin, at the end of it, just before it plunges off into hell, there is no barrier. No barrier. But preacher, how do I know God is striving with me? You'll know it when your thoughts lead you to be concerned with eternity. You'll know it. You'll know it when you become convinced of sin. You'll know it. You'll know it when you lose the high life feeling and start feeling like a low life. You get the hint. You'll know it when you start feeling guilty before God, when you can't look at yourself in the mirror without being ashamed of what you did last night. You'll know it. You'll know it when you're ashamed of yourself as you watch your wife and kids head out the door on the way to church, and your lame excuse is that it's the only day off I get a week. Give me a break. You'll know it when you remember your grandma praying for your salvation and that memory brings tears. You'll know it. You'll know it when you're flipping through the channels and there's a gospel preacher on and you can't get him off the screen fast enough. Or you're flipping through the radio dial trying to find something you can listen to keep your mind occupied, and you come across a gospel song and you can't get the radio turned quick enough. You'll know it. That's God. God is calling. He's calling you, and you will know it. You won't have to guess. But please hear me out. God says His Spirit will not always strive with man. What does this mean? It doesn't take a Greek scholar, Hebrew scholar, to figure this out. It means exactly what it says. When is that moment that God's Spirit stops striving? I don't know that. Only God knows that. Only God. There is a time, I know not when, a place I know not where, which marks the destiny of men to heaven or despair. There's a line by us not seen which crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's patience and His wrath. But why would God's Spirit cease dealing with an individual? A couple of suggestions. Maybe, I'm sure there's more than that, this, but there's a couple of things here. Because God knows all things. And sometimes God ceases to deal with people because God, in His infinite knowledge, knows that further striving will be useless. God knows that and we don't. The Apostle John addressed that situation, I think his third little epistle that he wrote, when he said there is a sin unto death. And I don't say that you should even pray about that. But if you see someone sinning a sin that is not unto death, pray that God will give them repentance. Pray about that. But sins unto death, though Noah, Daniel, and Job stood before God, God said, I would not hear it because it's over. It's over. Secondly, because a sinner can resist the Holy Ghost until they reach a place of no return. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. The value of that warning lies in the fact that so doing can lead to a confirmed hardness of heart. Hebrews 3:7-8 says, wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. This is not in my notes, but I feel impressed to share it. This happened a number of years ago, actually years ago. I was probably about 12-13 years of age when this happened. But one of my brothers, one of the twins, Jimmy, we were in revival at the church, and God was dealing with Jimmy about giving his heart to the Lord. And Jimmy was miserable. He was really, really miserable. God had been dealing with him, and he was in that land where he knows what he needs to do, but he just can't bring himself to humble himself and come to the Lord. And one night, Holy Ghost conviction got real, real heavy. I mean real heavy. We all left the service and went to the house. Jimmy went back to his room. He told me this later. He said, I went back to my room. And I said, Holy Ghost, leave me alone. Jimmy said. It was like all of a sudden the room became a vacuum. Everything was sucked out of the room. And he felt this incredible loneliness, emptiness, fear grip him immediately. He said, I got on my knees and I began to cry. I said, God, please. I didn't mean it, God. I didn't mean it. Happy to tell you, God was merciful to him. I preached him his funeral not too long ago, and I was happy to say to the people in that crowd that he made heaven because he served God with his life. The value of quenching not the spirit lies in the fact that so doing can lead to a seared conscience. Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in the knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. If you think serving God is tough, try serving Satan. If you think you got it tough as a Christian, just see what the devil can do for you. To do those things, it's King James stuff, which are not convenient. I'm sure in that day, that's verse meant more than it does now, but let me just put it in everyday. It's hell on earth. Did you hear what our preacher said? It's the truth. It's as close to hell on this earth as you'll get. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That word seared simply means cauterized. Cauterized. Nothing touches it. Nothing gets through that layer. Thickness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and with greediness. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are under conviction today and you, God is speaking to your heart and you're miserable, you need to thank God to the highest heavens that you've still got feeling. Having that feeling won't save you, but it's step number one. Feeling. There are moments, divine moments, when he pleads. Sometimes he comes back again and again. Sometimes he comes back. Can I just tell you something this morning? He's back. He's back. Ooh, he's here. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I've got him. I've got him. They're dancing up and down my arm. He's here. He's back. Striving. Lovingly striving, he's back. In closing, I want to tell you a story. Everybody loves a story. This is a dandy. It's a good story. One day as Jesus was teaching, he quoted one of the Psalms, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Well, I had an amazing and wonderful experience after last Wednesday evening service. More or less confirmed the psalm that Jesus quoted from. Most of the kids that rode the van were already on the van and headed home. Other kids were out in the front. They were waiting for whoever to come pick them up. And
That's when I noticed a little blonde-headed girl, probably about 5 years of age, full of life, energy to burn, seemingly didn't have a care in this world. She had just got through attending missionettes, where she was provided a snack and given some love and attention and a Bible story, which she was very willing to relate to me. Obviously, she was in good spirits about the church experience on Wednesday night. She came to me with her eyes widened with excitement and initiated a conversation that went something like this. Do you know about Jonah? Before I had a chance to respond, she continued. Jonah got swallowed by a great big fish. She stretched her little old arms as big as she could get them to let me have some kind of an idea just how big that fish was. Then she said, and you know what? Jonah had to stay in that fish's belly for 3 days, 3 whole days, and she did like this. Well, there were several more questions to which she gave the answers. She continued to tell me all about the future. After I had the conversation with that little girl, I got to pondering about that scenario, and I had to admit, I don't think I've ever had an adult leave a church service that was that excited about one of my sermons. Well, anyway, this little girl finally finished the story of Jonah and the whale, but in no way was she finished talking. A look of sadness came over her little angelic face, and here's what she told me with a tear in her voice. She said to me, I always ask my daddy to come to church with me. She paused as if to let what she had just said sink in. And then she continued. I tell him that Jesus could help him if he'd just ask him. That he'd be happy if he'd just let Jesus come into his heart. I tell him, Jesus loves you, Daddy. He really does. Daddy, will you come to church with me next time? Can I tell you, by this time, I realized that this was not an ordinary encounter. And this certainly wasn't just an ordinary child. This little tyke continued. Every time I ask Daddy to come to church with me, he always says, I don't have any time for that Jesus stuff. That's not for me. And again, a look of sadness came over her face, and she paused a moment as if to regain her thoughts, and then she spoke again. I wish my daddy would come to church with me. I love my daddy so much. And I'm sure that he'd love Jesus too if he'd just come to Jesus. I thought, Dad, what in the world are you thinking?
Don't turn a deaf ear to this little girl. She's right. You really do need Jesus more than anything else in the world. And Dad, wasn't it thoughtful of God to send you a special little angel to let you know just how much He loves you?
I want to say this, and I'm closing. The Holy Ghost will not force anyone against their will. God's not into the forcing and forceful entry business. He's just not. I honestly think every once in a while God will pick a lock, but He's not into beating doors down. Okay? He's not into that. He knocks. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. Have you ever noticed that painting where Jesus is standing at the door knocking? Have you ever noticed the door? There's no handle on the outside. Somebody pointed that out to the artist and he said, I intended it that way. I didn't intend for there to be a door knob on the outside because the door has to be opened from the inside. We've got to open the door for Jesus. He will not force anyone against their will. He offers grace and eternal life. He offers salvation, but the choice is ours entirely, inclusively, and eternally. Just a few verses down from the text I read in Genesis chapter 6. Where God had just said, I'm going to wipe this thing plumb off. I'm going to destroy mankind. The Bible says something like, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'd never picked up on this till the other day. It's amazing how much new stuff the Bible has. Hadn't been studying it but 60 some odd years now, and you'll find something new, but I hadn't picked up on this. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know what? Noah was looking for it. That's why he found it. He was looking for it. God didn't have it hidden. It had been offered time and again, even in that early point in human history. God had made it clear, I love you, children. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, just like you can find grace in the eyes of the Lord this morning at one of these benches that we call altars. You can come to Jesus. You can come to Him. Let's bow to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I ask you this morning, Lord, do not please, Lord, do not let this message that you burned into my heart fall on deaf ears. Do not let it go unheeded. And do not let anyone leave out of here without availing themselves, Lord, of the salvation that you've made available to them through the blood of Jesus. I pray in your name, Lord. With everyone standing, I'd like for us just to stand for a moment in the stillness. Danny, sing that first verse, will you please?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb
just as I am and waiting not.
Just as I am.
Stop right now.
And waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
With heads bowed and eyes closed as she continues to play softly. The choice is yours today. I don't have any fancy words I can say, anything I can add to this today that would express the burden of my heart any more clearly than what it's already been said. The ball is in your court. It's your choice. You can either come to the altar and get on your knees and say, Jesus, I believe what your word says, and I know you're dealing with my heart, and I know you're making a bid for me, and I just want to get on my knees, and I'm not ashamed to be on my knees at the front of this building. I'm not ashamed. I want to come to you, and I want to get on my knees and ask you to come into my heart. If that's you this morning, I want you to just, without any further ado, without any hesitation, slip out into an aisle nearest you and come. Just kneel on your knees in one of these altars. Somebody will come to pray with you. We're for you. Jesus is for you. God is for you. He loves you. He's calling. He's calling you today. Come to Him. Come to Him today. Come to Him today. Amen. It's prayer time. It's prayer time. If you need to leave the building, if you need to go, please go quietly. I'm inviting you to come toward an altar and spend some time in prayer before you leave today. Bless you.